Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
All right, well, this morning, I'm going to share a little message with you if it's all right. I'm going to talk about courage and boldness while also talking about the way that that should come out in our lives, because I feel like a lot of times nowadays that can come out in a wrong way or a twisted way, just because of the way things have progressed in the world. But when we talk about courage, you know, you think, well, wow, there's a lot of people that have courage nowadays. But I would say that most of the time when we think about courage, we're like thinking about social media courage and online courage or a strongly worded email or text message. And that's the way I believe that it's been twisted a little bit, you know, that we have this idea that, you know, we can just be courageous online and not really back it up in our life. Because that's really what that online presence presents us, is that we can do, well, we present ourselves as really, hopefully we don't do this, but as whatever we want, as strong as we want, or as cool as we want, or look at this wonderful food I'm eating, and it's the best food in the whole world, and like you don't see the rest of the table that's a mess, you know, just this perfectly placed plate with food on it that looks amazing, and you're like, whoa! Their house must be amazing because I see 1 foot of their table and their plate. Right? But now this presence that we have online, social media, the internet, all these different things, it's given us this sense that we can present ourselves in such a way and also allowed us to not really need to back it up. In Matthew 23, verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do it according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." And I believe this really correlates to what I'm speaking about here and about this idea that we can just get on something in a social media or whatever. Or we feel this anger, listen, there's a lot going on in the world. And there's a lot of different opinions. There's a lot of voices speaking. Really? Oh, tell me now. Most of the ones you hear, where are they at? They're online. They're on Facebook. They're on Twitter or Instagram or whatever. And all this stuff is being spoken and in such boldness. It's being spoken. And I'm not talking about a particular idea or what somebody's saying. I'm saying just in all aspects, in all the different ways, the different points of view, different perspectives, all these things, they're being spoken in such boldness because we don't really have to back it up. And what Jesus is saying here, he's like, listen, these scribes and these Pharisees, really the religious rulers of the day, that they were saying all this stuff, like, listen, they're speaking the law. They're telling you to do these things, those things you should do. But what you have to understand is that they're not actually doing them themselves. They're not actually putting the burden on themselves in doing it. Do what they say. Don't do what they do. It's interesting that if you ever watched the movie The Wizard of Oz, if you haven't, I don't know. If you haven't, it's like, I think everybody's seen it. But the wizard in Oz, right? The great wizard that has this big, deep voice. Gigantic projection of himself. He's just a little guy with a machine behind a screen, behind a curtain, you know? You pull the curtain back and there's really nothing there that has been presented. And I feel like today that that's kind of how we've twisted our boldness and our faith. Like that grand wizard, the great wizard of Oz. But behind the screen or behind the curtain is just this little person that doesn't have anything to back it up. It's a counterfeit courage. In 1 Kings chapter 12, and there's a story of this young king that comes to power after his father and Jeroboam and the rest of the people of Israel come to him and they say, listen, your father was so hard on us and we're asking you, please, will you not be so hard on our people? And we're begging you, please help us. And in verse 6, then it says, then the king Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice that the elders gave him and consulted with young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer this people who has spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put upon us? Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges. And in this story, you have this young king, he comes to power, and this people coming and saying, your father, he put a heavy burden on us, and will you lighten that burden? Will you treat us with more kindness, with more respect, with more love? And they come to him asking him, pleading with him, and he says, hey, counselors, older guys that were with my father, what do you think? And they're like, if you treat them with respect and love and serve them now, they'll serve you forever. Well, but I don't want to be kind. I want to show my strength. I want to show how big I am. I want to show what I can do. And so, of course, he goes to the young guys, the guys that grew up with him, the guys that he knows are going to say what he wants them to say. Can anybody relate to this stuff? I'm just telling you that it just sounds like what happens today. We have many people around us that want to speak truth into our lives, speak something, and they've gone on before us, the older generations, the ones that know how to walk in strength and faith and courage in their walk with God and can speak truth to us. And then we turn around and say, well, I don't know about that. What about you guys, you young ones that don't really know what you're doing, the ones that grew up with me? I don't know what I'm doing. Why would I think that you know what you're doing? But I'm going to listen to you. So we turn around and talk to somebody who's going to say the same thing that we want or that we would say the thing that we want them to say. And listen to that voice. The problem is this didn't work in that day, and it doesn't work today. See, he goes back to the people, to Jeroboam, and the people of Israel, and he says, listen, I'm going to do this to you, and my father was hard, but I'm going to be worse. You're going to see how powerful I am, how strong I am. And you know what happened? It caused division. And when it caused division, it actually showed how weak he was. The reality is that if he would have been kinder to them, it would have built strength in his kingdom and who he is and who he was, and what he ruled over would have been stronger by treating them with kindness. But disrespecting them and treating them unkindly and unfairly and telling them, I'm going to be worse to you, actually made him weaker, and he couldn't rule his people how he said he was going to. It's the same. It's the same for us. And we don't see it that way. So many times we say, look, if I present myself so big, and if I say, I'm going to come at you and tell you how you should live or what you should do or how wrong you are, it only weakens our foundation. We think that we're going to set somebody straight or we're going to do something to change who they are. And this doesn't mean that we don't speak the truth, and I'll get more into that. It doesn't mean that we don't speak what God has us to speak. But how are we speaking it? And are we speaking what God wants or what we want? Because when we speak what God wants, when we speak his words, it builds. It strengthens us, it strengthens people, it helps and it restores, it does all these different things. But when we speak our words, it tears down. When we come in our pride, what we want, what we think. We think we're building ourselves up, but we're really tearing the foundation out from under ourselves. Dietrich Bonhoeffer spoke of a gospel-less, repentance-less version of Christianity. He called it cheap grace. It's cheap grace. No repentance. No real gospel. It's just all grace, but not understanding what that really means in our life. But what I'm talking about today, I feel like this is become like a cheap faith. I have this faith and this trust in who God is, this trust that isn't fully reliant or fully understanding who God is, but I'm going to say that it's my faith, and I'm going to act in my own will in this situation, and it's a cheap faith. See, cheap faith draws hard lines and doesn't foster conversation to grow for either person. Cheap faith, it sends social media posts attacking people with nothing to back it up. Like, seriously, I'm just thinking right now about how many different things that I've seen online, and whenever I stand in front of the person, that there's not the same thing. There's a bunch of words, a bunch of things being said about how things should be done or how wrong people are, but then what does the life lived on the other side of the screen say? Because we can present ourselves as being sinless and perfect, and we all know that that's not true. But even more than that, so many times the life lived in reality is completely the opposite. Completely the opposite of what is being spoken or presented online. But we are to have courage. We are to have strength. But it's a spirit-filled courage. In Luke 12, verse 11, it says, "Now when they bring you," and the NIV says, "when you're brought before the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." See, there's a couple things in this scripture. It says, when you're brought before, when they bring you before the synagogue, when they bring you into the synagogue. See, the first thing is that you're really there. This isn't some online debate. This is being brought before a people that thinks differently than you, that maybe is coming against you. And it says, when you're brought before, don't worry about those things. And in this scripture, I think, like, I want to be brought before. I don't want to have this imaginary thing where I can argue with anybody that I want, and I don't actually have to see them in person or deal with them ever again in my life. I'm not going to see you. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter how mean I am. I actually don't see you at all. But we should have strength and should have this faith, this boldness, this courage. But where should it be? It should be when we're standing right in front of somebody. And what should the words that are spoken be? Well, it says right here, don't worry about it. That's another thing. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. God is not fearful. God is not discouraged. He isn't afraid. So don't worry about what you'll say. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit will teach you in that moment what to say. What should we say? We should say what the Spirit wants us to say. And that's not an easy thing to do, because in moments where we get a little heightened in our senses and are a little anxious and angry, it's a little bit harder to hear the Spirit, because our head so much is saying, this is what needs to happen right now, and this is what you should say. But the Spirit will bring awareness, He'll bring knowledge, He'll bring understanding in the situation. And this one, I feel like, you know, it's just gone out the window pretty much in our day. But in Ephesians 4:15, it says what? Speak the truth. Speak the truth. That's right. I'm going to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. You can't get the in love away from the speak the truth. It's there together. It doesn't get separated. Speak the truth in love. But also, when the scripture goes on, you can't separate these things and say, well, I'm just going to speak the truth without the love. And then you also can't separate that it says, but when you do this, you can grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Speaking the truth in love is actually part of our growth in Christ. Maybe a little, you know, might sting a little bit. But if we're not speaking in the truth in love, where are we at in our walk with God, in our maturity, in what he wants for us? If the truth isn't spoken in love, I would say, not very far. We're not very far. Speak the truth in love so that we can grow up in all things into him. I want to go to the New Testament and talk about Paul. And, you know, of course, one of those biblical characters that we're all like, man, he did so much, and what God did in his life and all that he wrote in like half the New Testament. Look at all this stuff. And Paul, he's like this great guy. But he had moments too where he had to make a decision. He had boldness. He had courage and wanted to jump in there in different moments. And to give you a little backstory, this moment that we're going to be talking about is where the gospel is spreading and all over Asia and Ephesus, all these different places, and the gospel is being spoken and preached, and so many people were coming to know Christ and so many great things. But the problem was is that there were a lot of people, and specifically in this story, that weren't okay with it. And you have some of these people that made idols, these silversmiths, they made idols to the goddess Diana. And it was like their big thing. They made lots of money. And so all these people started getting converted. They came to know Christ, and they weren't buying the idols. And these silversmiths, they were afraid, they were scared, they were angry. And they came together and said, we need to do something. Because Ephesus is all about Diana. And they're saying that these other gods aren't real gods, and we have to come after them. So they came together in this big crowd, this riot, this big group of people that were so angry that people were being converted. There were people that were coming and burning their books of magic and throwing away their statues and doing all this stuff, because that's what happens in conversion. All the evil, the bad stuff gets thrown away, right? It gets pushed out. And they're so angry. And they come together and they capture a couple of the guys. And here comes Paul. And it says, when Paul wanted to go into the people, he says, wait, what's going on? They got a couple of these guys. I'm going to just go in there and I'm going to run in. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to go in there. And when Paul wanted to go in to the people, the disciples would not allow him. See, he was bold. He was so bold in his faith that he wanted to rush in. But he was mature enough to allow the Spirit and others around him to hold him back. See, this is a big thing, I think, of an amazing thing, because it's one of those scriptures that I knew about, but like all this stuff in here, and I'm like, man, this is good. This is real good, especially for us. Paul, in all his boldness and strength and all he did, was ready to rush in to this group of people, a massive group of people that were angry because the gospel was being spoken. And he was going to rush in there and tell them what he thought about them. But he allowed wise counsel to keep him from doing that. He didn't go into the theater that day. It was a theater place, a big, giant place. An angry mob. Because wise counsel told him not to. But I love in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31, you have a scripture where he talks about that moment. And it says, I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beast at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So in this moment right here, he's speaking, he's saying, listen, if I would have just run into that place, I would have been running in the manner of men. I would have been running in the flesh. I would have been running in with my pride, on my own volition. If I ran into that place, and he calls them the beasts at Ephesus. If I would have run into the belly of the beasts, if I'd have run into the middle of that, it might have looked cool, but it would have been my pride. It would have been my flesh. It wouldn't have been because the Spirit was leading me in that moment. And then he says, if the dead do not rise, let us eat, drink. He's saying, listen, the problem is that Christ died for us. The problem is there's something more than what we have here. And I need to have that present before me, because if there's nothing else besides this life that we're fighting for, if there's nothing else beyond, why don't we just all eat, drink, and be merry? We could have just gone, you know, let's just go and have a good meal and post it on Facebook. But there's so much more that we have to take into account. He's saying there's so much more. If that's all there is, let's just eat and drink and be merry. But there is more. So I can't just run around doing whatever I want and running in to this crowd that may have killed me or doing these things when it's not God that wants me to do them. I have to stay in this space where God is leading, where he is the one that is my protection. He says, I have to stay in the presence of God. I have to stay where he wants me. So in these stories, we gather just all these different places where it's spoken about pride and humility and being led by the Spirit. And what I say to you today is that, like, there is a lot going on in the world. There's always a lot. It's like when, you know, Tori and I are getting busy and we say, man, this week was stressful. And then we're like, but what week isn't? You know? I mean, yeah, there's stuff going on. But really, isn't there always? I mean, I know that there's some times that are a little easier than others. But there's always going to be these moments that we have to decide. And I don't know about you, but I see these moments that we're in right now, and I say, God, these are moments, like biblical moments, where the gospel is being spoken and then it's being pushed against. Where people are coming to know you, but then they're getting bombarded by negative and evil, tormenting thoughts or people saying stuff to them. And I say, God, would you allow us to be a people that speaks the truth in love? Would you allow us to be moved by your Spirit? Yes, we need to speak. Yes, you can post something on Facebook. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, what does our life look like behind the screen, on the other side? We can't post something on Facebook and be completely different. And also, if you post something angry and yelling at somebody, you just shouldn't do that. How should we live our life? We should live it in devotion to God and trusting Him and following Him and speaking of who He is. But what should our speaking of who He is look like? Because I'm telling you, I don't see a lot of the good stuff, what it should look like. Because I don't understand. How is yelling at somebody, telling them how evil they are, gonna help them come to know Christ? How is arguing with somebody gonna bring them to a place where they can encounter Jesus? How? And that's what I'm saying. Like, the social media stuff, it's fine. It's okay. The problem is what it makes us do. What I'm talking about is what is your heart? Where are you at in this? Because so many times I feel like we come here like the young king and say, ha, you think that somebody else tried to tell you you were wrong in your sin or whatever. Wait till you see what I'm going to say. And then you have wise counsel around you saying, hey, you know what? Maybe like there's a better way. Like, let's speak the truth in love. Let's get together in person. Well, I don't know. Let me ask these friends of mine that think exactly like I do. What do you think I should do? I think you should yell at them on Facebook. Oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to do. Okay, let's do that. I just feel God saying, we are created to be in relationship with people. We are created to have friendships, to have love, to be around people, to speak to them face to face, to work through things together, even in our differences. That I can think something completely opposite of someone and come to them and talk with them and share, and we can think something totally different and I can still love them. For some reason, in this twisted courage, this cheap faith that we have sometimes, that we think that it means that if we believe something different, we can't even like talk to them. We can yell at them online, but we can't talk to them in person. We can't come and speak about differences. And in these next couple of months, there's going to be so many things. So many things. What things? Oh. More and more, there's this divide coming. I was watching this documentary and showing how even in political parties, and I don't want to get political really up here, but that the political parties are so much more divided now than they ever have been in our entire existence of America. That back even like, I don't know, it's like 20, 30, I can't remember how many years, but it's how many years ago that they were so much closer. But there's a wedge being driven, saying you need to be further apart and further apart, and you need to argue, you need to fight, you need to come against each other, you need to slap each other in the face, whatever it takes, just do it. And what I'm saying is that's not how we were created. We were created to love. We were created to encourage people. We were created to bring healing, not division. And in this moment, I just hear God saying, how are you going to be a part of the solution to the division in our world? How are you going to be one that speaks in love? Speaking the truth, but in love. Because I've had conversations. I've probably not enough. We need to do this more and more and more. But conversations where you don't feel the same way or think the same thing. Great conversations. It doesn't mean you have to believe what the other person believes. It just means that you have to love them. And if you love them, you can't help but treat them with respect. Would you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.